Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
Hi, church. Mark here. I'm going to talk a little bit today about how to convert fear into faith. But before I do that, I thought I would share just some humorous thing. I called my parents the other day, say, Mom and Dad, how are you doing? And my mom and dad says, Mark, Pat, your twin brother, called us up and chewed us out. I said, why? I said, well, because we went to church and then we had a life group at our house and Pat chewed us out because, you know, we should have been home. We shouldn't do that. And I thought, Mom and Dad, that's kind of a little funny. Because when I was a kid, you were chewing me out for being out. And now we're chewing you out for being out. And I thought that was kind of funny. Here's a pro tip for you couples that maybe are at home or you're quarantined at home and you're working from home together. And here's a tip for you. Get yourself an imaginary coworker to blame things on. So maybe it's like Cheryl. So you're in your house. And you say, you know, Cheryl keeps leaving her dirty water cups everywhere around the house. I don't know what to do with this person. That way you don't have to blame it on your spouse. It's some imaginary coworker there. But here's a tip for single people. If you're single and you recently broke up and you found out your ex is quarantined, it's a really good time for you to change your Netflix password. It's just a perfect time for that. I want to get a little serious here and talk about, you know, I want to talk about, you know, what are we as a church? What's our response during this pandemic? And it really is a global pandemic, and there's lots of fears and anxieties out there. But there's a statement that when we gathered with the staff this week and we all sat in the auditorium, you know, 6 feet apart because the virus stops at 5 feet, 11 and a half inches. We shared the thought that the building's closed, but the church is open. And the reason we say that is because the church is people. And a few weeks ago, the church left the building, and right now the building's closed, but the church is alive and active. You're the church, and we also had to look at our staff and go, hey, if we don't have kids ministry in the building, what do? If we don't have all of our care groups, well, how do we realign staff? And so we realigned our staff in three areas. One, we call it city care. We called the mayor of the city. We asked him, what can we do, Ms. Mayor Mathily? And they called, his chief of staff called us the very next day and said, Mark, can you provide drivers for Meals on Wheels? We've called principals to find out what we can do. And in fact, the principal at Denali Elementary says, you know, we're able to serve meals for lunch and breakfast and lunch for kids, but the pantry for the weekends is running low. And so can you help? And of course we said, absolutely we can help. So if you go to the website, you'll find out there's a pack the pantry list and there's a place if you want to drive for Meals on Wheels, go to our website. In fact, that's an area that our communication will be driven through is our website. We also looked and said, how do we pastor this church, our church? Next week, we'll roll out a brand new thing we're going to do here called virtual life groups, virtual care groups. We're going to have care groups that meet virtually through Zoom and other ways like that. And we're going to have virtual prayer groups. And so we're going to let you know about that next week. We'll roll that out. This is such a fast-paced, changing day. And I just want you to know, our pastoral team's 100% ready for this because they taught us in seminary and Bible college how to lead a church through a pandemic. No, we're like you trying to go, what does this look like? The last part of our staff, again, we're going to pastor our city. We're going to pastor our church. We're also going to pastor the church. We helped several churches this week get online. We're calling the smaller church in our community to ask, can we stream for you our service at the end, when someone wants to give online, because there's churches that don't have online giving, that they can go to the giving portable. So next week, you'll notice a change. Right now, there's different areas to give in our church. Next week, there'll be one area to give, or two areas, one for missions and one for True North Church tithes and offerings. And then there's going to be other churches in our city that we're going to allow them to go online and give so that these churches can receive offerings in a time where they have no online portable. And so pray with us on that. We want to be a resource to our city. And so again, our city, our church, and the church, the global church in our community. Things are changing. Again, go to our website. You'll notice the new landing page on truenorthchurchak.org. Check it out. There's resources for your children. In fact, if you haven't checked that out, you can do kids' church at home. Put a video on, sing the songs, do the lesson. There's some activities on there. There's also a whole lot we're put on there for youth, and again, how to serve our city. But I want to shift now and say, we're praying for you. If you're a senior in high school, my heart goes out to you. I have a senior in my house. In fact, my daughter sent me a little text the other day with a photo. It says, I was born during 9/11, and I'm not going to graduate because of coronavirus. And so my heart goes out. I know some of you are stewarding personal situations in your home. Some of you are quarantined. Some of you are wondering when. And there's all this fear and anxiety, and it's real. Now, whether you think it's an overreaction, whether you think it's politicized or not, here's the deal. Our world is concerned and full of fear right now. So today, I want to talk about five ways we can convert fear into faith. So I want to pivot, and I want to talk about five ways we, when I say we, I mean, if you're watching online, True North Church, five ways we can convert fear into faith. Number one, let's give hope. Let's give people hope. There's so much anxiety, so much fear, but I believe we can give hope. In fact, there's a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that says, he, this is speaking about Jesus, he has delivered, that's past tense, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver, that's future tense, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, he will deliver us. On him we've set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. I want to pause for a second. It's very clear. He has delivered us, he will deliver us, and he will continue to. Look at me. He has, he will, and he will continue to. In fact, I want to remind you, in 1999 and 2000, there was this fear the world was coming to an end because the clocks and the computers wouldn't change from one year to another. We call that Y2K. How many remember Y2K? How many remember in 2001 when on 9/11 and the towers came down and anthrax, people were sending letters with anthrax. Remember the anthrax crisis? We made it. We're still alive. And what about 2002, the West Nile virus? 2003 was SARS, and 2004 was the bird flu, and in 2006 was E. coli, and in 2008, a bad economy, and the housing market crashed, and the stock market crashed, and guess what? It rebounded. It'll rebound again. In 2010, there was the BP oil spill. Remember when the oil spilled all over in the Gulf of, and then in 2012, the Mayan calendar said the world was gonna end. Guys, we made it past the Mayan calendar. And then in 2013, the North Korea, and we thought there's gonna be a nuclear war. And in 2014, the Ebola crisis. And then in 2015, ISIS. In 2016, the Zika virus. In 2018, it's the coronavirus. Guess what? He has delivered us. He will deliver us, and he'll continue to deliver us. In fact, let's go to Romans chapter 8. And we know that in all things, if you're sitting in your room or wherever you're at, in all things, say all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. What then shall we say in response to these things? What are these things? Challenges. If God is for us, who can be against? With coronavirus, if God is for us, who can be against us? It goes on, it says, he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or coronavirus? No. In all these things, all of that, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Friends, we have got to realize that he has, he will, and he will always deliver us, and we have hope. Friends, this is a time to focus on hope, because nothing can separate us from the love of God, nothing. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, or anything else in all creation, any bacteria, any virus, any challenge will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Friends, we have hope. The second truth, how do we convert fear into faith, is number two. Let's provide support. If our world is feeling like they're falling apart and they got to quarantine themselves in and they're concerned about the virus, then friends, it's never been a greater day than to be the church. Hey, this building might be closed, but I can tell you right now, the church is open for business because you're the church. And upon this rock, the Bible says he'll build his church. He's building you right now. And so the question we have to ask is, if there's no building, what does it look like? Our faith should not revolve around a building. Our faith revolves around Jesus. And if we're Christ followers, we still have a mission, whether we have a building to come to or not right at this season, and that's to provide support. How do we provide support? In fact, I love what it says in Acts. They devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Now, this was written before the church had a building. And they shared, and they shared resources. Everyone was filled. And they taught each other, they fellowshiped, they broke bread. And it says this, and they had everything in common. And it goes on, it says this. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. In other words, they began to meet the needs around them. They didn't have a building, but they had each other. It says every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in the homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying of all the favor of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Friends, there's things we can do in this season without a building. We can still serve our city. We can still serve each other. Who are you calling? Who can you text? Who can you get connected to? Again, next week, we'll talk about our virtual life groups we're launching, and people can connect and see each other. It's never been a better day. Pick up your iPhone and FaceTime someone. Pick up your Galaxy, and I don't know what it is with that thing. You're on the wrong Galaxy, but you need to get on. I won't argue with you today. But spend some time connecting with people. And I always say it like this: like a good neighbor, True North is there. How can we be a good neighbor to people? And the third principle today is, let's stay close. Now you might say, Mark, they told us to social, there's this new word called social distancing. Where in the world did social distancing, I'd never heard the word before, and I want to encourage you, really the word social distancing isn't the right word to use. Physical distancing is the right word to use. Let's stay away from people 6 feet, but we could socially connect with people. Now's the time to stay connected. It says in Hebrews, and let us consider how we may spur. Let us consider. I can tell you right now, as a church, we've been talking and considering, how in the world do we figure out how to connect people in a world where we have so physical distancing? How can we socially connect? And it says, they considered how we may spur each other on toward love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, In other words, let's figure out how to meet together. Right now it's online. Right now it's virtual. Who knows how long this crisis will make the building closed, but the building might be closed, but the church is open. It says this, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let's stay connected. If you're in a life group in the past and maybe haven't been one now, go back and find some phone numbers, call some people, text some people, connect with your neighbor. I called my neighbor last night, talked to her for about a half hour. Her 85-year-old grandmother's living in her house with her right now. And concerned because they're, you know, over some different situations and things like that. Let's stay connected. Let's call. Don't suffer in silence. Reach out to someone. Call the church if you need someone to pray with you. Email us, connect. The next thing we need to do is we need to fear not. This word is found in the Bible a lot. Fear not. Fear not, for I am with you. In fact, the Bible says, lift up your eyes to the hills, because that's where your help comes from. It doesn't say lift your eyes up to CNN or Fox News. I can tell you right now, if you really want to think the world's coming to an end, watch CNN News, cross-reference that with the book of Revelation, and you will think the end of the world is here. Friends, let's fear not. How do we not fear? Number one, understand this truth about fear. Fear breeds more fear. Studies say that 99% of things we fear never happen. Mark Twain said this, I've been through some terrible times in my life, a few of which actually happened. Let me read that again. I've been through some terrible times in my life, a few of which have actually happened. Fear breeds more fear. What you focus on and stare at, you reproduce. There's a story in the book of Genesis where Jacob was raising sheep for his father-in-law. And he was blessed. Everything he touched was blessed, and favor was on his life. And so he was working for Laban, his father-in-law. And one day his father-in-law, Jacob said, I want to leave. I want to go back home. And Jacob's father-in-law, Laban, said, you can go back home. But before you go back home, I want you to raise some sheep for me. And so he said that the agreement was all of the spotted and speckled lambs you could have, and all the pure lambs we'll keep for our family. And so because favor was on Jacob's life, Jacob raised all of Laban's purebred lambs, the non-spotted ones, and all the spotted ones he sent with his own sons to raise, Laban's sons to raise. And you know what Jacob did? Jacob went down to the watering troughs or the ponds where the sheep would drink water before they reproduced or when they were in time of heat or whatever. And he took pieces of wood, it says, and he would carve spots and streaks in the wood, and he put the wood in the water. And I've always thought that was a weird story. Why in the world would there be a story in the Bible about Jacob who put spots on pieces of wood and put it in the water? So it says this. So when the lambs or sheep would go to drink water, they would see the streaked pieces of wood. They would see the spots on the wood. And the Bible says that these unspotted lambs and sheep produced children or babies that were spotted and streaked. And what's interesting about that story is this. I believe the reason that story's in there is because there's a picture right there that what you stare at, you reproduce. Those non-spotted lambs looked at spots and looked at stripes, and they became what they looked at. And if you focus on fear, it will breed more fear. The next thought on the truth about fear is fear clouds your judgment. Fear clouds your judgment. Heard a story once of someone who'd walked by this house for years on a walk. And I don't know if, you know, now that the snow is melting, you might have neighborhood walks. And most of you, if you live in a neighborhood, you kind of know where the dogs are that bark real loud and the dogs on chains and things like that. And there was this one this one house that had all these big signs that said, beware of dog. And one day this person walking by the house saw an elderly woman walk out with a couple small poodles. And the poodles ran right up to him and wanted them to pet him. And the gentleman's going, like, why do you have these dogs? No one should be scared of these dogs. Why do you have this sign? These dogs couldn't do anything. And the woman's response was that, you're right, the dogs can't do anything, but this sign can. This sign can. In other words, fear clouds judgment. You see a sign and you think, oh my goodness, and the truth is maybe it's just a little puppy. But fear clouds judgment. We don't think correctly. We don't think right. We make knee-jerk reactions. Thirdly, fear redirects energy. How many of you this last week have found yourself tired? You go to bed tired, you wake up tired, you wake up, and fear redirects energy. And sometimes if there's enough fear, you just almost paralyzes you. In fact, you've probably heard the story of someone asked a lion trainer once at a circus, if you could take one item into the lion cage, what would you take? Because typically a lion trainer would take a whip, he would take a gun, and he'd take a stool. And everyone assumed that they would say, I'll take the gun, because if the lion comes at me, I take the gun and boom, or a whip. He says, no, I take the stool. And people ask him, like, why would you take a stool in this interview? Why would you take a stool into a lion's cage? And he said, I would take a stool because when I take the stool and I lift the stool up and I thrust it at the lion doesn't know which leg to focus on. And so it paralyzes the lion so he can't move anymore. And I think that's what happens. Fear sometimes redirects energy and we're paralyzed from action. We're paralyzed from knowing what to do. And so today, I want to talk about how do we convert fear into faith? How do we take the fear that's there? Maybe you're paralyzed. Maybe it sapped your energy. How do you convert that into faith? Two ways. Number one, how to fear to convert into faith. It says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love or power and love and a sound mind. So there's two ways we can convert fear into faith. Number one, prayer. I know that sounds simple. We need to pray. Spend some time with Jesus. I don't know about you. Maybe you've talked to everyone about your fear, but you haven't talked to Jesus. Take it to Jesus. Some of our best staff meetings this last week have been when we gathered in the auditorium. The staff spread throughout the whole auditorium and we spent an hour just praying, going, God, we need wisdom. We need insight. We need to know, God, how do we lead during a global pandemic like this? Pray. I love what the scriptures say. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Listen to that. He freed me from all my fears. Spend some time with Jesus this week. Spend some time in prayer. The second way we convert fear into faith is number two, we read God's word. I wanna give you a challenge this week. I want you to read Psalms 91 every day this week. I want you to read it out loud to yourself. And I did something, I have Psalms 91 up here. But I changed all of the pronouns to make it personal. And wherever you're at right now, would you read this out loud with me? I will dwell in the shelter of the Most High, and I will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save me from the fowler's snare and from a deadly pestilence. Then it goes on, it says, I will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Why? I'll not fear. Why? The Lord is my refuge. So I want to encourage you this week to pray Psalms 91 over and over. You'll notice how Psalms 91 is a powerful verse on finding shelter in the Almighty God. And I've put the verses up here for you right now, and we're going to read them together. But I've changed the pronouns to make it personal. So this week, would you read it every day out loud? It'll take 2 or 3 minutes. Psalms 91. I will dwell in the shelter of the Most High, and I will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely he will save me from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. And I will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. The Lord is my refuge, and I make the Most High my dwelling. Therefore, no harm will overtake me, no disaster will come near me or my tent, for he will command his angels concerning me to guard me in all my ways. This week, would you take your Bible and open up to Psalms 91, and maybe you'd fold that page over so it's there, and you'd open it up, and every day you'd read it out loud to say, you're my shelter. I hide in the shelter of the Almighty God. You're my rock and my fortress, in whom I trust. Take some time to do that. Now, I want to pray over you right now. Would you bow your heads in your rooms, or if you're driving, keep your eyes open right now. Wherever you're at, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. I pray a blessing over everyone that's here. Work in their hearts and lives. Let them convert fear into faith. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're here today watching online and you've never made a decision to serve Jesus, I'd be remiss if I didn't give you an opportunity tonight or today or whenever you're watching this to give your life to Jesus. We believe there's an expiration date on the milk carton of all our lives. I'm not living in fear with the coronavirus, because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. My kids would miss me. My wife would miss me. Some of you would miss me. But I tell you right now, I probably wouldn't miss any of you, because I'd be in heaven. It's appointed once for men to die, the Bible says. It's appointed once for men to die, and after that to face judgment. So the reality is we're not promised tomorrow. So my question for you is this. You can be sure that if you died today, that you'd know Jesus forever. I always say it's as easy as ABC. A, admit you've sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. B, believe that Jesus died for your sins to forgive you on a cross. We know the scripture for John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. A, admit, B, believe, and C, confess. Confess Jesus as Lord. Confess him as your Lord. The Bible says if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So wherever you're at right now, if you've never prayed that prayer, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Just bow your heads and hearts right now where you're at. Lord, I ask you, I admit, number one, that I've sinned. I've done things wrong, but today I ask you to forgive me. Please be my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross for me to forgive me. And tonight, or this afternoon, or this morning, I confess you as the Lord of my life. Help me serve you the rest of my life in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.